From Polycast, the official podcast of a Bolton Civilization site at Bolton.net. Cut. Snippets of what did not make it into the final episode 4, episode 31.
So, why don't we try that again? I don't think you properly introduced me because of how confusing it was that Water wasn't around.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dan needs a special introduction because he's the boss.
She introduced Dan as much as should be introduced.
I didn't introduce him first. That's what it is.
I thought you were saving the best for last, but then you disappointed.
Well, she actually did say you, Dan, at some point.
Yes, she did. But everyone was laughing at Wouter, including me, instead of saying hello.
Whose fault is that?
It's the internet's fault.
That's right. Well, I know it's one thing that Death Monkey seems to be focusing on, and a lot of the things that we've talked about with Civ Rev in the past, is Civ Rev really Civ? Is it going to be as good as Civ 4 or earlier titles? But what Death Monkey has been doing has been moving on what we might recently call this kind of justification of Civ Rev, of having Civ in the title, and actually talking about what elements it contains as improvements to Civ 4. Forming armies of the same unit, naval bombardments, complementing ground attacks, we've talked about that in a previous episode. The hidden artifacts on the map, we've talked about those. And the way that buildings augment the tiles worked. I don't remember hearing any specifics on that last point, have we? Just maybe a passing reference? I wonder what that's all about. Death Monkey says, in many ways, I feel that Civ Rev is similar to Pac-Man Championship Edition.
I read that one.
Yeah, even though Mr. Pac-Man exists and is an unquestionable classic, Pac-Man CE is the real sequel to the first game. I think that's a similar situation to Civ and Civ Rev.
Apparently, he also says, currently the games being played internally at Firaxis are taking around 3 hours.
Well, that was their goal.
Yeah.
Have a quick, short game you can sit down after work.
So apparently that's going to be the what they're focusing on, is a quick 3 hour game or so.
Oh, jeepers.
Did you just say jeepers?
I did, yes.
You did.
I said it again. It's the word of the day.
My word of the day is a bit stronger than that.
Golly jeepers?
Golly jeepers.
Something like that.
Dan Q as well, who decided to grace us and then leave us and then grace us again with his presence. We prefer to leave.
You don't know what you got till it's gone. Bye.
And we also had...
That's why it was made so easy to adjust these things, is for those, you know, there's somebody the other day who posted a request that I had before, actually, who posted a request for a game where the tech stopped at the medieval era. And that sounds horribly, horribly, horribly boring to me. But at the same time, it took me literally 5 minutes to make a mod for it. So just go through the tech thing and do find and change zeros to ones for a couple dozen techs, and that's the mod. I was trying to set it up so that it would have, like, instead of the turns going from 4000 BC to AD 2100 or whatever, I was trying to set it up so that the turns would go from 4000 BC to AD 1700 or 1600, you know, some medievalish time period. But I mean, it literally takes 5 minutes to do these things. Well, if you want more copper or you want more iron, that's easy to do. Corporations have accomplished that to some extent. You can certainly do corporations earlier on. You can certainly do some sort of religion corporation, essentially, where you set up corporations that started at the beginning of the game. But they could even be very simple corporations where the corporation just gives you a bonus hammers for your copper, essentially, or something like that. It would be very simple to do that, and then you could have 30 or 40 coppers on the map. Part of this is probably the single player, the ability to quit. You have that ability to quit and restart, so a lot of people probably just do that. But if you stick it out, and I can tell you this from multiplayer games where I always try to stick it out, there's a lot of options that don't involve copper and iron. There's two obvious options. There's go ahead and get chariots, especially now that chariots kill axemen, post-warlords. Chariots are good. Chariot Rush, especially if you have a chariot unique unit, of course, but even without it, Chariot Rush works really well. You can build a lot of chariots really early, really quickly, and do very, very well, and quickly take out the Civ next to you. And I guarantee you, either you or the Civ next to you will have copper iron. That will always happen. And then you, of course, can jump up to horse archers and help horse archers to do whatever. But you also have the other direction, which is longbows. It doesn't take that long to get to feudalism if you go straight to it, and you will have longbows before anyone else. And a longbowman, especially a longbowman with a couple of promotions, and you probably have to rent theocracy or vassalage or something, but conveniently enough, you get vassalage with feudalism. a 5 experience point longbowman has 3 first strikes, I think. That's really good. A longbowman can do quite a lot of damage to people using axemen and swordsmen, because it's a 6, which is the same as the axemen and swordsmen, but you can't get bonuses towards it. There's no ability to just counter it. You can't just put your right set of counter units in your city. You can't. There's nothing that counters a longbowman. And I've seen people, well, I've never had a chance to do this myself, I've seen people who had no iron or copper just beeline to feudalism, get longbowmen, get a whole bunch of them, and just go clear out the next guy. You can just send, 15 his way and just pillage everything. And then just sort of wait till you've built up enough longbowmen. I mean, yes, they're not the greatest at taking cities, but if you pillage all of his squares, he can't tech, he can't build units because you've taken away most of his hammers. He can't grow his cities and use slavery because you've taken away most of his food. It's pretty effective. And if you've got longbowmen in that era where everyone else is still researching these other things, it's just a strategic choice. And that's always the interesting part of Civ. It's why it's a strategy game and it's not just throw stuff at people game. To me, that's the difference between an RTS and a TBS. In an RTS, yeah, you're always going to have whatever resources you need. You're not going to be limited from building stuff, usually. Because in an RTS, it's the tactics. It's how many of what unit do you use and such like that. Whereas in TBS, there's a little more thinking involved, I think.
Yeah. Well, the only RTS I can think of where it's not quite that way to some extent is Rise of Nations, but that's a very particular case. But as you were talking about the strategy going in and pillaging people's resources...
There's one game that I played that I enjoyed quite a lot when I was younger. It was The Prince, Machiavelli's Prince, or maybe it was just called Machiavelli, I don't remember, but it was based on Merchant Princes 2, and it wasn't like Civ in that you couldn't found a city, but you traded. It was primarily a trade and war game sort of at the same time. So sort of like if you took Civ, but you took away the ability to the city maintenance part, you couldn't really do anything with cities. You had ships and you loaded them up with stuff, and then you took them from city to city and tried to take advantage of the different buying and selling rates of stuff. And it was set in Venice, of course, Machiavelli. In Venice, you'd load up with, whatever it is that Venice made, wine or something. You'd go down to Egypt, and Egypt had tons of cotton, but they had no wine, and they wanted wine a lot. So you'd sell them some wine and buy some cotton. And that was actually quite a lot of fun, I think. And that was actually, from what I remember, that was a fairly popular game, that line of games, the Merchant Prince, Machiavelli, whatever games. But there hasn't really been a game like that since, in like, for 10 years. That game was either DOS or it was Windows 95. But that's the one thing I think that can make caravans interesting in Civ is if you had a little more of a market, sort of a buying and selling, you actually could intentionally trade this to that and actually do something with it. And actually, it would get you some money if you traded it. I think colonization had something like that too, but with the home nation. But anyhow, I mean, if they did that with caravans, I think that would be interesting. But if it was just manually building trade routes, Civ 4 style trade routes, I think that sounds sort of silly for them to add to a game that they're trying to cut stuff out of.
What they're talking about here, and is also the game that you mentioned, it's also reminding me of Seven Cities of Gold, which itself is a good 15, 20 years old, where you would load up a ship with goods from the old world, and you would take it to the new world, and you would encounter villages, and you would have the opportunity to trade. You couldn't found cities, but you could found outposts, and the outposts might grow large enough to become colonies and support more colonists, and they have more ammunition and more stores and that sort of thing.
In a multiplayer game, you have to deal with it, and you have to figure out how to deal with it. And yeah, I mean, if you're the sort of person who really doesn't like the idea of playing without copper iron, doesn't like that strategic decision, then yeah, just start the game over again in single player. I think that I don't think I've ever played a game where I had no copper iron or horses somewhere where I should have settled, even if I didn't actually settle there. I at least should have settled there. Sometimes, yeah, I'll only settle to the east of me, and I'll totally forget about the west side, and then somebody will come in and settle the copper or whatever. But you always have one of the three, pretty much. 80% of games you have two, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
The balanced resources option lets you make sure that everyone does have a balance of resources instead of, especially for like, what do you call it, games that are tournament games and stuff like that. For games that are tournament games and stuff like that, you can guarantee that they're balanced resources. And like you said, for a single player game, you can just quit the game and start over again if it's that important to you. I don't know, I mean, that was definitely one of my complaints of 3 during the copious resources phases. It wasn't that fun, but
yeah.
To each his own, and that's why Civ 4 was made so moddable. A lot of people have been talking about, and I think they bring it up in that thread, talking about quantitative resources, where if you have 2 coppers or if you have 3 coppers, it makes a difference.
Oh, we've talked about that before. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not particularly interesting to me. Again, I think that's one of those things where its realism is probably less fun than the game. But yeah, some people don't agree with that, and that's fine. And that's probably not hard to make a mod like that, although I don't actually know that I've ever seen one.
It's also noted that you can manage your cities by selecting one on the map or hitting up on the directional pad and then toggle through your different cities using bumpers. We also talked about briefly about the automation of some workers and what Bredvig had said, that workers are tied to your population and will automatically go about their business. I originally mentioned that are tied to your population because I figured, well, of course they're tied to your population. At least in Civ 4, for example, you might not be able to build a worker if your population's not large enough or a settler. So that is going to be an issue. But then in the GameSpot First Hands On Preview by Jason Ocampo, he says that when you create a city, it automatically sends out workers to develop the squares around it, and you can manually direct the workers using the city management screen. And when I heard that you could manually direct the workers, I was just thinking, oh, click on them individually, or maybe be able to group them together, but not actually have like a separate management screen for it. So it sounds like that Firaxis is definitely thinking about everything that you will need to do for Civ Rev on the console gamepad, but not have it too cumbersome. DS version, PS3 version, the Xbox 360 version, and a Wii version. So you actually forgot one Civ Rev there, Mackie.
I need caffeine.
Or were you just doing the spring Civ Rev rendition, in which case there's only three titles, in which case you would be correct. Yay!
What?
You said Civ Rev, Civ Rev, Civ Rev. I see. One for DS, one for PS3, one for Xbox 360.
I'd like the number 3.
Copyright 2007, a Bolton Civilization site at apolton.net.